Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! First off, thanks everybody for tolerating me playing hooky with my family last night. We had a lot of fun. And Ferg is still okay. He did a much better job this year than last. But my God, that guy that won the burrito contest, did you see the video? Those things were monumental. They were huge. 6 pounds each. And the guy that won, my God, I think if he would have thumped his leg, you would have heard it would have been like a drum because he had nowhere else to put it. I mean, he ate the whole damn thing. But we had a blast. Aguiar, yeah, there we go. Took a minute. My Spanish, not so much. Oscar had several special menu items last night, one of which was homemade tamales, which he had stuffed not with the usual, but with delightful barbecued shredded pork. Whoa. It may sound crazy, but if you ever find yourself wandering through Fayetteville, West Virginia, one of the things you will most enjoy is the really wonderful little restaurant culture that exists there. The Sedona Grill, DOG's, the Secret Sandwich Society, Pies and Pints, just an array of delightful dining experiences in a place where you really wouldn't otherwise expect to see them. It was a lot of fun. Ferg came in fifth. He came in third last year. I really, hard to say. He's sworn he's back to compete again next year. He's not going to quit till he wins. So it was fun playing hooky last night. But we're back. I'm back. It is, of course, Friday on the front porch here on the Horn. And that sort of opens the discussion to all manner of stuff, whatever you want to bring to the table in the course of the conversation. I've got a few ideas, most of which have absolutely nothing to do with you-know-who the dead guy. And I think that's probably a bonus, because I'm real tired of it. Not that I'm Mr. Short Attention Span or anything, but I get tired of the saturation, don't you? Doesn't it just get old? Yeah. One of the things, well, there's a number of things to go into, but I want to do a couple of things right off the bat in terms of housekeeping and just program updates. I want to let you know in advance that June is going to be a very, very, very strange month because of the way some things are shaping up. In early June, somewhere around the 7th, the 8th, maybe the 9th, the 10th, I know some of those days, at least two, quite possibly three of them, maybe even four, I'm going to be away from the microphone, having to do with some stuff in the struggle against mountaintop removal. So there's that. Then there's also a possibility that I'm going to be on the road because of an organization we're trying to pull together at a meeting that has to be attended. That's two. Then, in mid-June, there's Netroots Nation, live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We will be attending. We will be taking Coal River Mountain Watch's message of the urgency for ending the Appalachian apocalypse. We'll be taking that to Minneapolis. So that's going to eat up a week. And then at the end of June, we will, of course, be live for Dr. Bill's PRISM West Virginia Academy. If you've been following Dr. Bill's lectures, you know that this is going to be absolutely magnificent information for anybody who actually wants to learn at this kind of depth and this kind of richness. So that goes on in the last week of June and first week of July. All of which leads me to an overarching point. I've kind of, you know, I've done an experiment 2 months running now. I've tried to go a week or so without hardly mentioning fundraising whatsoever. And because of that, contributions dwindle to almost nil. The way it all shakes out, you know, if you just do the long division and your gazintas and your ciphering, in order to meet our monthly fundraising goal, what we look for is roughly $60 a night. $6 $10 contributions per night. Stunning, really, that we can get by on so little. But that's what we look for. It hasn't happened. Never happens. Almost. So here we are at the end of the week, and we badly need your support. At the end of this week, we should be somewhere around the, do the gazintas and the ciphering and the math and everything. We should be pulling in about $625 a week to keep the bills paid here. And there are a lot of bills. I don't know if we've crossed $100 for May yet. So I just wanted to offer that. This doesn't happen for free, and if you don't hear me... And the frustrating thing is that I have to get out... that I have to flog it like this in order to... I don't know, I guess it's just easy to forget. And it probably is more frustrating for you than it is for... Well, no, it's equally frustrating for me, because I hate even having to bring it up. I wish I was independently wealthy. But I'm not. So I can't just cover this myself, and we don't have any advertisements for, I don't know, an online college you can go to in your pajamas, or the buy gold now, or buy vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and drop them on Swedish mattresses while your herbal remedy is growing your hair back and giving you a stiffy. We don't have any of that going on. This is media that you and all of us together have built and maintain over the course of time. But I got to tell you, knowing how much time I'm going to spend away from the microphone in June, I'm afraid we're going to go freaking broke. So that's why I'm making mention of it now, Friday on the front porch, before we go dark for the weekend. Of course, the rerun stream will be going. But it's a constant struggle. It really, really is. And so if we could get 6 or 12 people to kick $10 a piece this evening, we wouldn't be anywhere near the $625 we need for the week, but it would be something. And we would be, you know, remember, we've had 4 months that we actually made the fundraising goal. Isn't that nice? It'd be nice to make it 5. So this is the flog, and I apologize for it. But help is needed badly. You know, of course, that the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute. Also, there is the snail mail address if you prefer to work that way. One of these days, because we've got the account set up and stuff, we need to just put it online. One of these days, we're going to also offer the alternative of using Google Checkout, because that's all set up. We just need to put a widget on the website. because I know that PayPal gives a lot of people the creeps for some obvious reasons. So thanks to those of you who do kick in and keep this little light shining, as it were. 10 minutes past the hour, we get into the meat of the heart of the program, I suppose. And, you know, I see these stories of the corporate world outside the borders of the United States, and I always tend to think, you know what? That's on the way here. This is a case in point. A simple question. Do you love, and I mean, and people who do, I mean, they love them. Do you love your iPad? Next time you're fiddling around with your iPad, give it a moment of a little more special reverence, would you? Because working people are dying, literally dying, to get them into our clutching, consumeristic, materialistic American hands. Apple iPads are built at the factory of a company called Foxconn in China. Over the last 16 months, workers at Foxconn, who live in a worker dormitory that is provided by the company, in other words, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can never get away from the company. Over the last 16 months, an average of roughly one Foxconn worker per month has committed suicide because the working conditions in the factory that makes iPads are so miserable that they make life itself intolerable. Not a good sign, is it? Many of them are jumpers. Beyond the Foxconn factories in China, there are also believed to be more suicides who have either survived the attempt or been stopped in the act at these Apple Foxconn plants in Chengdu and or Shenzhen. Guess what? You know what Apple and their supplier company's response to this has been? It has been to force the workers in these factories to sign non-suicide pledges, promises not to kill themselves, to enslave themselves forevermore to making iPads for a ravenous American and otherwise international public. Yeah, they've had to sign a non-suicide oath that also says that they will forego death benefits. Their families will forego death benefits if, in fact, they do off themselves. Here's what it's like inside you want to know how weird it is? Outside the worker dormitories in Chengdu and Shenzhen, they've put up nets around the dorms themselves in order to catch the falling bodies. And it's probably a pretty good idea. It's humanitarian, and it keeps, it makes sure that any livers that Steve Jobs might need aren't ruined in the jumping process. No, really, they put up nets, like circus nets. One payslip from one of these factories showed that a worker worked 98 hours of overtime in 1 month. The legal limit is 36 hours a month in China. And that is, well, yeah. They can't work fast enough. Workers during peak production periods, that's hell on a microphone. Workers got less than 1 day off in 13. Because we had to get more iPads to the United States. Workers who don't meet quota or perform as expected are subjected to public humiliation and shaming before their colleagues. Gee, wonder why it is they then go home and jump off the dormitory roof. Workers stand relentlessly without a break for 12 hours a day on the production line. During those 12 hours, they are forbidden even from speaking to one another. This is the real cost. This is the real cost of an iPad. Makes you a little bit sad, doesn't it? Sociologists had written an open letter to the media calling for an end to restrictive working practices, and the response of the fascist dictatorship there was to craft the non-suicide pledge. A little bit of a disconnect, don't you think? Yeah, me too. Upon being inquired of by media, one worker told a newspaper, "Sometimes my roommates cry when they arrive in the dormitory after a long day." One sentence from the story: "In Chengdu, working between 60 and 80 hours overtime a month is quite normal and breaches Apple's own code of conduct with the length of their shifts." Upon inquiry, Foxconn admitted, "Well, yeah, we break the overtime laws, but it's all voluntary overtime." I love that. I love it when corporations start talking about workers doing voluntary things. Because there's no such thing. You want to work a whole bunch of overtime this month? Not really. Want a job next month? Yes, you're working next. Do you volunteer? Oh, I volunteer. Spokesman Louis Wu of Foxconn discussed the issue of public humiliation of underperforming workers. He said, "It is not something we endorse or encourage. However, I would not exclude that this might happen given the diverse and large population of our workforce, but we're working to change it." Employees are encouraged not to engage in conversations that may distract them from the attention needed to ensure accuracy and their own safety. Why not just put a tennis ball in their mouth and wrap some duct tape around it? Then it also stopped their mouths from being able to ingest any of the many and horrible chemicals that are used in the process. And here's the fun part. Apple has a supplier code of conduct, and that supplier code of conduct specifically insists that employees be treated with respect and dignity. Apple then went and audited its suppliers to find out if that was in the case, was in fact the case. And they came back with an audit report that says the suppliers in China aren't meeting the standards. Oh well, got to get some more iPads to the market. And of course, this is Apple. But don't kid yourself, it's going on in other factories too, because the American conspicuous consumption model doesn't care what happens to overseas workers as long as we get our crap. Because that's how we define our national happiness. It doesn't work. It doesn't produce happiness. But nonetheless, we continue to flog the idea that it does. Because if you don't, then the consumer religion culture falls apart. And that's bad for capitalism. So there's that. Now let's come back home. Do you live in the following? Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, California, Colorado, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, New Jersey, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, or West Virginia. Hmm? Man, who sang that song, I've Been Everywhere? I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere. That's pretty much everywhere, isn't it? Odds are, if you're within the reach of my voice in the United States, yes, you live in one of those states. See, I know we got listeners in Alabama and Arkansas. I know the Arizona, yes. California, definitely. Colorado, yes. Delaware, yes. Florida, yes. Georgia, yes. Illinois, yes. Indiana, yes. Kansas, not so sure. Kentucky, yes. Louisiana, yes. Maryland, yes. Got a brand new listener from Mississippi, or what he referred to as Crappissippi. Missouri. Yes, Missouri. New Jersey, absolutely. Nevada, yep. Don't know about New Mexico. Used to. Well, yeah, we do. Yeah, at least temporarily. North Carolina, definitely. Ohio, certainly. Used to have a listener or two in Oklahoma. Don't know about that anymore. They may have been run off. Not from the Horn, but from Oklahoma, you know, for being liberal. Pennsylvania, certainly. South Carolina, indubitably. Tennessee, absolutely. Texas, no doubt about it. Utah, yes, Utah is represented. Virginia, yes. And, well, I guess, yeah, but several of us count for West Virginia. So, why? Why is it, what's the story? I get the sense that we have a lot of old Monty Python fans in the audience. If you're like me, this may very well be one of your favorites as it is one of mine.
Mr. Milton, you are sole proprietor and owner of the Wizzo Chocolate Company.
I am.
Superintendent Parrott and I are from the IG Squad. We want to have a word with you about your box of chocolates entitled the Wizzo Quality Assortment.
Ah, yes.
If I may begin at the beginning. First, there is the cherry fondue.
Oh.
This is extremely nasty. We can't prosecute you for that.
Agreed.
Next, we have number four. Crunchy frog.
Ah, yes.
Am I right in thinking there's a real frog in here?
Yes, a little one.
What sort of frog?
A dead frog.
Is it cooked?
No.
What, a raw frog?
We use only the finest baby frogs, dew-picked and flown from Iraq,
cleansed in the finest quality spring water, lightly killed, and then sealed in a succulent Swiss quintuple smooth triple cream milk chocolate envelope and lovingly frosted with glucose.
This is maybe it's still a frog.
Oh, what else?
Well, don't you even take the bones out?
If we took the bones out, it wouldn't be crunchy, would it?
Superintendent Parrot ate one of those.
Excuse me, madam. It says crunchy frog quite clearly.
Well, the superintendent thought it was an almond whirl. People won't expect there to be a frog in there. They're bound to think it's some form of mock frog.
Mock frog? We use no artificial preservatives or additives of any kind.
Nevertheless, I must warn you that in future you should delete the words crunchy frog and replace them with the legend crunchy, raw, unboned, real dead frog if you want to avoid prosecution.
What about yourselves?
I'm not interested in yourselves. I have to protect the general public. Now, how about this one? It was number 5, wasn't it? Number 5, ram's bladder cup. What kind of confection is this?
We use choicest juicy chunks of fresh Cornish ram's bladder, emptied, steamed, flavoured with sesame seeds, whipped into a fondue and garnished with lark's vomit.
Lark's vomit?
Correct.
Well, it don't say nothing about that here.
Oh, yes it does. On the bottom of the box, after monosodium glutamate.
Well, I hardly think this is good enough. I think it would be more appropriate if the box bore a large red label warning lots of it.
Oh, sales would plummet.
Well, why don't you move into more conventional areas of confectionery, like praline or lime cream? A bit of popular flavour, I'm led to understand. I mean, look at this one. Cockroach cluster. Anthrax ripple. What's this one? Spring surprise.
Ah, oh, no, that's our speciality. Covered in darkest creamy chocolate, when you pop it in your mouth, steel bolts spring out and plunge straight through both cheeks.
Well, where's the pleasure in that? If people place a nice chocky in their mouths, they don't want their cheeks pierced. In any case, this is an inadequate description of the sweetmeat. I should have to ask you to accompany me to the station.
It's a fair cop.
Stop talking to the camera.
I'm sorry.
If only the general public would take more care when buying its sweeties, it would reduce the number of man-hours lost to the nation, and they would spend less time having their stomachs pumped and sitting around in public lavatories.
You get the idea. It wasn't the crunchy frog that got me going with this story. It was spring surprise. You know, they say that bread is the staff of life. But they never really tell us what the staff is made of, do they? Well, there's a recall out. The date of the recall, May the 3rd, 2011. The topic of the recall, Cobblestone Mill Whole Wheat Bread, Natural Grains, Nature's Own, and Sweet Bay English Muffins. Oh, I do love an English muffin with a little bit of soft butter left out on the table overnight so that it just smears ever so nicely across the toasty crevasses and crinkly little dents and dimples of a split English muffin, and the yeasty wonderfulness and the crispness and the chewiness and the butter and the maybe a little bit of, oh, I don't know, seedless blackberry jam or cherry preserves. Who knows? They're delightful. It's a great way to start a morning. But the corporate overlords at Cobblestone Mill have decided that their English muffins go much better with small bits of metal. No, really. Yeah, this is the dinner hour portion of the program, isn't it? Now, the recall is on by Flowers Foods of Thomasville, Georgia. Of course, Georgia being a right-to-work state. Recalling certain bread and English muffin products listed below with Best Buy date codes of May 11th, 0355119 and May 12th, 0355120, because they may contain small bits of metal. Products affected, Cobblestone Mill 16-ounce 100% whole wheat bread. Natural grains. Exactly, Betsy. It's a right to get fired state without recourse. Natural grains, honey wheat English muffins. Nature's Own light multi-grain English muffins. Nature's Own 100% whole wheat English muffins. Nature's Own honey wheat English muffins. Sweet Bay 100% whole wheat English muffins. No injuries, the report says, have been reported. Of course, to the best of mine, you know, a lot of people don't eat an English muffin and then say, go for an MRI. Can you imagine having one of those little bits of Cobblestone Mill, small piece of metal English brand English muffin in your innards when you're going through an MRI and the metal superheats and just sort of lavas right through your guts? Good. Jeebus. Consumers are urged to return these products with Best Buy date UPC codes noted to the place of purchase for product replacement or refund. Trust me, take the refund. Consumers with questions may contact Flowers Consumer Relations Center at 866-245-8921. I called them and said it'll be a cold day in hell before I ever eat another piece of their corporate crap bread. Because, see, they got to be this big by absorbing small regional bakeries that were serving regional customer bases quite nicely. But because the very nature of capitalism, and especially unbridled, unregulated, predatory anarcho-capitalism, is constant consumption based upon constant consumption, those little regional bakeries were, of course, merely fodder for the massive corporate beast of Flowers Foods of Thomasville, Georgia. Dear, would you like honey or butter or a little of both on your English muffin? No, I think I'll take some iron filings. Yeah, don't eat any Flowers products before going to the airport on any given morning. You're never going to be able to explain it to the Transportation Security Administration people. And since they can't, you know, they'll get you down to naked and still can't find why you're beeping. And the next thing you know, well, the glove goes on and you go, we don't want to talk about that during the dinner hour. Yeah, English, the corporate America. Non-union workers making crap wages with no protections, no ability to protect themselves should they blow the whistle on, hey, we got a machine over here that's grinding little bits of metal into the bread. Somebody's losing their job over this, but it won't be the CEO. Jeebus. How profit-driven, how rapacious must one corporation be, especially if it is a bakery, to wind up with grindy little bits of sharp metal in bread? It's not like the bread's going in metal cans, you know, like maybe green beans do. Oh, wait a minute, we poisoned the green beans a couple of years ago. I don't know. Are the sharp little bits of metal, is the bread rising over there next to where they chop the little pieces of wire for the twisties? I don't know. I will never forget. It was probably around 1998. Because Doodle was still quite small. We had stopped at the local McDonald's because the kids wanted to put that McDonald's play yard is a pernicious place. And they wanted to go play there and crawl around in the little ant farm thing. Ferg especially, but Margie too. Doodle wasn't. Couldn't. And we did what any parent ordinarily does. We bought them all their little McNugget Happy Meals. Ferg wouldn't finish his, so Agnes finished it for him. And it was in the process of biting into one of those when... I can't stand to see Agnes cry. And I don't like it when she yells out in horrible pain. But she did both. Because one of the McNuggets that was destined for one of our children's digestive tracts, Agnes bit down into it, cried out in horrible pain, and immediately began to weep. Because inside the McNugget had been a little metal shard that just by dumb chance was driven straight up through her tooth and into the nerve. Yeah, I know, this is one of those Marathon Man moments. It was awful. McDonald's immediately offered us a replacement box of McNuggets. No, thank you, we said, and headed off to the dentist. From iPads to English muffins. Yum. Ron and Raleigh noting, Bob, I always check my bread with a metal detector. After all, it's the libertarian way. Caveat emptor, y'all. Jim, you have a delightfully perverse mind. Muffins and butter, he asks. Are you sure you don't do phone sex? No, but this is food porn. It's, I guess, just a sort of sadistic food porn. Ouch. Now, golly Moses. This is just... Ray commenting on the Chinese workers not being allowed to talk. He says, they're not supposed to be distracted long enough to be alone. This is... And that's why we don't eat, you know, we try not to eat corporate. We try to buy from regional brands and support little local restaurants like the OG's over there. Man, that place was rocking last night. Doing a lot better business than, say, the franchise for Boob Evans or... Yuck. It's just more fun because you know that, you know it's going back into your local economy. Really? Really? Little bits of metal in the bread? Little bits of metal in the bread? What's next? The peanut butter? Oh, wait, they poisoned that last year, too. Well, pretty soon we'll be down to where we can't eat anything but salad. No, no, the salad was poisoned. Yeah, remember there was E. coli fecal matter bacteria on the salad greens. What's a poor boy to do? But you know what? It's okay. Because profits are up. And this is how you drive profits up. New metal-flavored English muffins. Coming to you from the natural goodness of Cobblestone Mills. Gosh, Cobblestone Mills, you can almost hear the polluted water running over the old water wheel, turning the old metal grinding stone. What? Yeah. So, we'll take a little break and come back to your phone calls. They are more than welcome. It's Friday on the front porch. Bring whatever you want to bring to the conversation. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel. That's 304-658-3333. Get in line, and we'll get the conversation started post-haste. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Come with me to Alabama. Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and broiling hammy. That's what I like about the South. Now there you can make no mistakey. Where those nerves are never shaky. Ought to taste a layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams. Those sugar-cured Virginia hams. Basement full of those berry jams. And that's what I like about the South. Hot corn bread and black-eyed peas. You can eat as much as you please. Cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Don't take one. Have two. They're dark brown and chocolate too. Suits me, they must suit you, cause that's what I like about the South. Away, way down where the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk on in with that southern drawl, cause that's what I like about the South. Down where they have those pretty queens, keep a dreaming those dreamy dreams, let's sip that absinthe in New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Old Bob with all the news, got the box back coat and the button shoes, but he's all caught up with his union dues, and that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street, who, can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than eat, and that's what I like about the South. Every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake your head and sigh, and I'll go walking right on by. Gone on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Do I Diddy? It ain't no town and it ain't no city. It's just awful small, but awful pretty with Do I Diddy. Didn't come here to criticize. I'm not here to sympathize. But don't call me those no good lies, cause a lying gal I do despise. You love me like I love you. Send me 50 PDQ, rose are red and violets are pink. I'm gonna get old 50, I don't think. She's got backbones and butter beans, ham hocks and turnip greens. You and me in New Orleans, and that's what I like about the South.
I love that song. Phil Harris, That's What I Like About the South. There's one line in there that I'm particularly fond of. His union dues are all paid up. Because there used to be unions in the South. And the reason that there aren't anymore is because of those aforementioned right-to-work laws. The South's rise, or the creation of the so-called New South, was created by union labor. No getting around it. And as soon as it had done so, the power mongers of the Republican Party and conservative Democrats went back to their nasty old ways of thinking that slavery is ever so much better an economic system. And that's what right to work is. It's the right to work for less. It's the right to starve. It's the right to be fired without recourse or redress. And it's how you wind up with little metal scraps in your freaking English muffins. Right? Hey, an update real quick, just to let you know. If you follow my tweets or my Facebook page, you know I've been out there flogging away trying to help Matt Osborne get a Netroots Nation scholarship. Well, he didn't quite. But not for want of trying. But he is a runner-up. And so he, too, will be in Minneapolis helping to document Cold River Mountain Watch's good work and its our efforts to bring awareness of the Appalachian apocalypse to the liberal side of the progressive side of the political spectrum. And it was a real shame that it worked out the way it did, because basically the contest got compromised by a person whose Twitter handle is Idealistic Dem. He spammed the vote. Among other things, he got votes for him from George and Martha Washingburn. And all his votes came in alphabetical order. Pathetic, you know? Just pathetic. But Matt will be there. Matt will be there, and I'm excited about it this year. I think a couple of things that are really, really good are going to happen as far as spreading the word about the Appalachian Apocalypse is concerned. It will be much better than last year's Vegas affair. And you know what? If you're in the upper Midwest, why not come on over? I don't know. We'll figure out something. We'll hang out, talk, chat, whatever, have a cup of coffee. Who knows? And that's basically, look at netrootsnation.org. That's basically the middle of June. So enough shilly-shallying about. Let us go forthwith to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
The mandatory overtime?
Yes.
Yeah. Overtime?
Yeah. Hi, Susan.
It's not just overseas. My sister My sister works for Boeing. And she has worked literally for years. Forced overtime. You work the overtime or you don't have a job.
Right. Yeah, and that's that voluntary overtime. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sure, they pay the money, but you know, there's no choice in it. Nothing at all. You know, you can have somebody die, doesn't make a bit of difference.
Can you imagine what a grim existence it must be to be in one of those so-called dormitories right next to the factory?
And I'm sitting here with an iPad feeling guilty.
Well, don't. Don't. I mean, don't. Because it's... It's if you were sitting there, what I'm getting at is these are generalized working conditions. If you were sitting there with one of the other tablets or, you know, I've got a Kindle. I'm sure it was manufactured under the same or similar circumstances. Every single piece of technical equipment in any given computer that's being used
overseas.
Yeah, well, they're all made in China. China is one big sweatshop. Now, it may not be that way in the central cities and so forth, but out in the commercial zones, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why they shipped those jobs there.
Right, because theoretically, you couldn't get away with it in the United States. It has nothing to do with profitability, does it?
You would have to, you'd have armed revolution on your hands. The reason I called in was I was listening to the president's remarks today in Kentucky. And I was sitting there just going with the flow, you know, okay, that's cool. Then he said something that made me really, really mad.
Yes?
He was talking about the troops. And he mentioned the wounded troops. And he said that's why they get the best care in the world. My husband served in both World War II and Korea. And he was treated like crap by the VA. they didn't want to talk to him. And that's what made me so.
Well, he had to move heaven and earth just for a hearing aid, didn't he?
Yeah, and he never even got a chance to wear it because he died. But what makes me angry, incredibly angry, is the way they treated this man while he was alive. They treated him like crap. He could have dropped dead on the front steps of the VA hospital here in Portland, and I swear to God, they would have just walked around him. Because the VA, frankly, didn't give a rip. The government didn't give a rip.
Well, and you've got to ask, does the best care in the world also...
time ago.
Does the best care in the world also include Walter Reed Army Medical Center? You know, remember the rats?
Yeah. And he didn't have, quote, service-connected disabilities. Never mind the fact that he was promised when he went into the Army, we will take care of your health care for the rest of your life. You go in there and you fight our wars, and we'll take care of you for the rest of your life. Boy, they sure flushed that promise down the toilet.
Well, see, that was a promise made when there was...
You're a veteran.
That was a promise made when, you know, we're talking about the Second World War. That was a promise made when FDR was in the White House. Then the Republicans got hold of the VA and everything went sideways.
Yeah. If you're a veteran, well, I believe there's a biblical passage, something along the lines of, put not your faith in princes. Something along those lines. Don't put your faith in the government because they will turn around and they will stab you in the back.
But see, my response to that, Susan, is to say that we can fix it. We can make it work. It has been broken by a group of, by a bunch of mercenary, profiteering right-wing Republicans. So all we have to do is break them, and then we can fix the stuff they broke.
In the meantime, those veterans who need help, get what you can while you can, because you may not be able to get it.
True that.
Because they screwed him over royally, and I'll never forgive them for that. You know, I didn't mind them screwing me out of his death benefits. I didn't mind that. No, he, you know, big deal. What I minded was the way they treated him when he was alive. And that just really...
Well, and consider the uphill climb that people coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq must have now.
Yeah. Donald had to go in and literally beg people for help. I shudder to think what those poor guys coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan have to do to get help. I shudder. And these are guys with traumatic brain injuries, with amputations. And well, the government doesn't care. Because let's face it, the stupid section of our population keeps voting in Republicans.
And guess who does a lot of that? With the endorsement of organizations like the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Guess who does that?
Veterans.
Yeah, because they know that the Republican Party knows how important our fighting men and women is, or might be, sort of, kind of.
Yeah, and that's a crock of shit right there. Pardon my language. But it just blows me away that these people will buy into this every time. Donald and I would sit there and watch as the VFW endorsed George W. Bush every time, and we're sitting there saying, he's screwing these veterans the minute he walks out the door. Donald would go to the VFW, scream bloody murder, didn't do a bit of good.
No.
Because these people, all they watch is Fox News.
It is it's amazing the pernicious effect that it has.
They've allowed themselves to be brainwashed, and I'll give you a real good example. I sent it to you, but I'm going to pass it on to the listener. Google the name Pam Geller, people.
Oh, yucky.
She's come up with a really interesting slant on the Bursar controversy.
Oh, no.
She says he can't be president because he's illegitimate.
Really? There's a constitutional non-bastardy requirement?
I don't know where this... Personally, I want to know what she's shooting up. I really do.
Pure poison.
She's got to be on some high-quality dust. All there is to it, she's got to be on some high-quality drugs. But that is the latest, and there is still a percentage. I think it's something like 16% of the U.S. population, even now, believes that Barack Obama was born outside the United States. Those are our Klansmen.
Actually, no. You know why? I'm glad you brought that up, Susan. Those are not our Klansmen. I saw this over at Brad Blog the other day, and it kind of gave me one of those moments. You know that you are on the political fringe of absolute lunacy when the Klan said, when the Klan, Susan, the Klan, robes, pillowcases, you know, things on fire.
Yeah.
When the Klan says that they don't want anything to do with you, you know you're really out there. This is,
Oh, God. They've been disavowed by the Klan?
This is the memo that went out. Our associates, members, and supporters are here officially ordered not to attend Tea Party events or support them in any way, writes the Klan. The Tea Party does not represent any but a shallow, limited political agenda which fails to serve our nation's interests. They are an extension of the Republican Party and seek to compromise it. We do not support any political party. All have betrayed the trust of the American people, and they have compromised their agenda to support the progressive socialist enslavement of the American people. Yeah, the birthers and the baggers have been dissed by the Klan. Doesn't that just make you want to just... run rabbits.
Okay, there are... That 16% is our... uninitiated racist, let me put it that way. They may not be Klansmen, but they're racist. Because you know that's the reason why they insist he was born outside the...
You know, I know this is going to sound perverse, so I apologize in advance. But in a way, I've got more respect for the Klan than I do for the birthers, the baggers, the deathers, the tenthers, the fourteenthers, and the corpsers. You know why?
Yeah, I'm...
Because the Klan doesn't pretend to be anything that it isn't. It is a hate organization, and it freely uses the vicious, filthy epithet for the people of color whom it hates. And they will tell you outright that they don't like that president. Meanwhile, the birthers, baggers, deathers, tenthers, booger eaters, fourteenthers, and corpsers, they run around, no, race has nothing to do with it. He's just, I want my country back. When the whole time, they're such stinking hypocrites, they don't have the common decency to say, listen, I don't like our president because I don't like his skin color.
Exactly. I agree. You got to give it to them. There's very little, like, I'll give to the Klan, but I will give them that. They do have the courage of their convictions.
Or at least, if not, no, they're cowards at heart, but they at least openly state what they are. They don't try to stealth anything.
They're consistent about it. Yeah, and they're consistent about it. Let's face it, David Duke has been David Duke all along, and he is nothing more and nothing less than a racist pig. But these corpses and these other guys just make me nuts. Because they go around and around and around in their nice, pretty little circles, trying to avoid the fact that, yeah, he's black. And he's probably a whole lot smarter than you ever thought of being, guys. And he's still president, and that just kills you.
It eats holes in their bellies.
Yeah. Anyway, give my love to Agnes.
I sure will, and you have a lovely weekend.
And Ferg.
I will. And we will talk soon.
Just refer to Ferg for not winning.
Oh, well. You know what? As we drove away last night, he said, I am completely okay with this because he said, I met my personal goal. Because he didn't hurl.
Good for him.
He made it all the way through and didn't hurl.
That's cool. That's a major milestone right there.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll be back next year, and God knows what sort of deviltry Oscar will have for next year's burrito. This year it was the inclusion of a half a dozen boiled eggs, making it what I consider to be the giant Cool Hand Luke burrito. I need 50 eggs.
Oh my God! How big was this thing?
6 pounds.
What?
Yeah. And one guy just about ate the whole damn thing. And he was one of those fellas that's so darn skinny, he's got to run around in the shower to get wet. Those are the ones you have to watch out for. And he had already eaten a full lunch at 3:30 p.m. earlier.
Don't you just hate people like that?
That's okay. His metabolism will slow down and he'll turn into me.
No, actually, he probably won't. I've got a stepson who's like that. If he turns sideways, he disappears. He's got one of those metabolisms.
Yeah, turns sideways, sticks his tongue out, looks like a zipper. Yeah.
And he's been that way all his life, and he's still that way, and he's pushing 50.
I'll be darned.
And he's disgusting. I just hate him.
Susan, have a good weekend, dear.
Good luck, everybody.
All right. Bye now. News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon, and we will take a little break and come back and crank up Friday on the front porch. Listen, here's how it works. This is much easier if we get everything lit up and, don't try to get in, 15 minutes before the program ends, because then it becomes a very frustrating process. By the way, my hearty thanks in the course of this hour, you guys have made 2 days worth of fundraising. There's been about $120 come in. So thank you very kindly. You know, we can finish out the week if we keep at that pace, which would be a whole lot more than just a little bit awesome. By the way, email coming in from our buddy Corey down in Louisville. Speaking of the McDonald's play place, ever try to go in that thing and clean the little surprises and the little surprises that the little packages of joy leave behind inside? I tend to find out a lot about the parents of those kids from the way the kids act in the play place. What I find a lot of time isn't all that positive. I cringe when I think of when these kids turn out to be teenagers or if any of these parents choose to vote. Speaking of McDonald's, people at work say I've lost a lot of weight and want to know why. I tell them I became a McDonald's vegetarian. I'm up there 5 days a week, and I have to eat something, so I've been eating nothing but side salads, bacon ranch salads with no chicken, and sweet tea since January. All of a sudden, my pants don't fit anymore. Strange that eating stuff you relatively know where it came from and know where it was made, actually brewed tea made with real cane sugar, can lead you. And P.S., here's how messed up the leadership Commonwealth of Kentucky is. The Democratic governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky chose not to spend time in Fort Campbell with the Democratic president of the United States when he was invited to come on Wednesday. Instead, the Democratic governor of Kentucky decided to spend his Friday in the state of Louisville for a day at Churchill Downs for the running of the Kentucky Oaks. But the Democratic governor of the Commonwealth of Kentucky could take some time out of his day during Thanksgiving 2008 when the Republican president, Dim Sun, came to Fort Campbell. Won't make time for the president of your own party, especially when he's doing a victory lap, but tried desperately to make time for an extremely unpopular president on his way out the door in disgrace from the opposite party. And the governor disappears to Louisville, of all places to boot. Did I mention this is our gubernatorial election year? Go figure. Oh, he didn't want to be anywhere near that one, did he? You know what? If you were to publicize your weight loss to the McDonald's management, you might get to be as famous as what's-his-name at Subway. But then again, maybe not. How'd you lose all that weight? Well, I stopped eating the cheeseburgers. Oops. So we'll take a little break and come back with your calls. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 rings into the same place. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Change the direction, adjust the tuning, try a new translation. Don't look at your man in the same old way. Take a new picture. Just because you don't see shooting stars doesn't mean it isn't perfect. You see?
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Total Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No, see, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap! There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends!
And hippies!
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Total Genius. We got your soap right here.
And other bath and body stuff!
www.bubblegenius.com.